As you know, we are in Romans. And I've shared this with you probably every week, but there is no other book in the Bible that has impacted me to such a depth that Romans has. And I don't stand alone with that. There are many that would say the same thing. And right now, where we are, we're going to start chapter 5 today. And we are moving at a pretty fast pace. We're not doing every single verse as we go through. But we are laying a foundation. If, you know, just as a younger Christian, I can just, and not that I don't still have the struggle, I still do, but I can still taste, feel, experience the struggle that I once had. And as I said, it's not gone. But of why doesn't this work? Why can't I live for God? Why can't I follow Him every day? Why can't I have fellowship with Him? Why do I keep failing? And in Romans chapter 6, I found my answer. I found the answer to that. And it has. And there were a number of years that I read Romans chapter 6 every day. Every day for years. Because in the struggle, in the depths of the struggle of what do you do with this flesh? What do you do with this old nature that we have, that I have, that wants its own way, wants to live? What do you do with that? How does it work? And I've heard all kind of answers all my life, and I never understood until I got into Romans chapter 6. And then things cleared up. And there still was work, still is a battle. We'll talk about that battle a little bit today. But I understood. And you can understand too. But we're building a foundation for that understanding now. And that's what we've been doing in Romans. So chapters 1 through 5, actually we're in a transition. Verses 1 through 12 of chapter 5 is a transition. And you'll notice he'll start using the word sin, singular, instead of sins, plural, when we get into chapters 5 and 6. And this has to do with this double theme of Romans. This double theme of the first primary is justification by faith alone. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And we have drilled this. We've drilled it. Now I know you still don't, all of you, believe it. I know that because I have experience in these things. It takes us a while to really believe that. I'm still trying to really believe that. Because on Monday, I've told you this, but on Monday, you know, when things are rough on Monday, and at the end of the day, and I haven't done my list, and I've failed, and I've not cooperated with God or people, and I'll say tomorrow I'm going to do better, in the back of my mind, I don't verbalize this, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, God will accept me tomorrow when I get it all done. When I live better, when I live different, when I'm better, God will accept me fully. We've got to get it through. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. God accepts you on Monday, just like He does on Tuesday and just like He does on Sunday. And if you've put your faith in Christ, He accepts you equally that He accepts Billy Graham or any whatever spiritual giant that you admire or would like. You know why? Why does God accept you equal to that spiritual giant you're thinking of? Hudson Taylor, maybe. Paul. Why does God accept you equally? What is it about you? Anybody want to say? Because of Christ. You're His child. It's because of Christ. You have the righteousness of Christ that has been credited to your account. It's been imputed to you. You have the righteousness of Christ. Now, we'll talk about failings. We'll talk about that. But if you don't get this down, you'll never understand when we start to deal with failings and how you deal with sin. But if you don't get this, and if you don't believe it, you're going nowhere. You're going nowhere if you don't get this down. If you have been identified with the death, burial, and resurrection, if you've received the gospel, if you've put your trust in Christ, you have been given the righteousness of Christ, or you could not approach God. So that is a theme of Romans. That is what Romans is saying. Justification declared righteous by faith alone. If I could just believe that on Monday afternoon, on Monday night, if I could just believe that, will transform your life if you'll believe it. So that double theme of justification by faith alone and victorious living, we're going to pick up right after, right in the second half of chapter 5. We're going to start moving towards that. Victorious living. And this double theme has to do with, in a sense, two identifications. One is the blood. The blood pays for the sin. That takes care of your sin. And the cross, that takes care of the old nature. That takes care of the flesh. That tendency you have. So, but we'll get into some detail about that. The blood and the cross. Now we looked at this thing. One of our goals here, one of our goals is that you would understand the gospel more deeply. You see, we never lose the need for the gospel. The gospel is not just for the lost. The gospel is for us who are following Christ. And if by a miracle of the Holy Spirit that you would gain a deeper understanding as we go through Romans, if you will gain a deeper understanding of the gospel, do you know what will happen? You, like Paul, will become passionate about the gospel. That's what I want for us. I want us to become passionate about the gospel. So that, we use that example. Do you remember that example? There's been this earthquake somewhere in, on the other side of the world. And we send a team over to go and help out. And we bring food. And there's some of the people there we can just drop off the food to, and they know what to do, and they're familiar enough, and they'll take it, and they'll eat it. Now that we get to the back country back there, some of the people, they've never seen anybody like us. They've never seen possibly a can of how to open that can. And so, if they're gonna die if they don't get this food. And so, it takes on the part of the rescuers a determination. I am going to share this food with you no matter what it costs me. That's a passion to share that. It's a passion. So, do we have that same passion with the gospel? This doesn't mean that we just dump all these unopened cans on somebody that has no idea what they're for. This means that first, it may require an investment in the life. It may require learning the language. How does that person think, feel, act, understanding, having genuine love for that person, not just a number to cross off, a genuine passion, love, as Ken was sharing this morning, a love that's been poured out into our hearts and that by God, by the Holy Spirit, and flows to the other person, a genuine, compelled by the love of Christ. So, our attitude in disciple making and sharing the gospel is, it's like this. And I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable that's not familiar with these things. But it's, I meet you, we have some things in common, I begin to build a relationship with you, share with you, love you, but I have something growing inside of me. It's a passion. It's a conviction. I am going to share the gospel with you. The good news that will deliver you, rescue you. It'll transform you. It'll give you eternal hope. You see, there's a passion for the gospel, and it comes from understanding the gospel. So that is one of our goals. As we go through this, we want to have gospel communities. Gospel where we together are doing this. We together are doing this together. So, we looked last week at chapter 1. Chapter 1, the last half of chapter 1 is to the heathen. It's to those that are doing open, obvious sin. Everybody knows they're lost. They themselves know they're sinners. They know they're going apart from God. But then we looked at the second group, the religious, who think they're doing something to make themselves acceptable to God. And then we looked at they're all in the same boat. They're all in the same boat. And they all need the same thing. So, and we looked at that. Do you remember sometimes I tell stories too often. They probably lose their impact. The little village on the riverbank. There's a great chasm. There's a river there on the bend. And they want to have a contest who can jump that river. Remember? Some people trained hard and worked hard. And some people didn't train at all, but on the day of the contest, nobody could do it. Nobody could meet the stand. Nobody could jump over. Even those that had worked really, really hard. So everybody was in the same boat. Everybody needed another way to get to the other side. And we'll be discussing that today. So, we're here in Romans chapter 5, we have been declared righteous by faith, and now we have joyous peace with God. That means, so we've been talking. There's a change here. It says in Romans 5, it starts off, therefore, and you can, there's been a transition. Therefore, because of all this stuff we've looked at, all this depth that we have studied so far, there's a change here. Where now we're going to start talking to those that have crossed the chasm. Those that are on the other side. Believers. Those that have put their faith in Christ. So, as we go through this, remember, keep this overview. We just talked about this overview of Romans. The double theme of Romans. The blood and the cross. Justification by faith alone. And grace. So, this is the theme. This is the background. So, if you've read through Romans, you may have at some point said, whoa, I am confused. I thought I understood. Sitting here on Sunday morning, Steve told me this theme of Romans. I thought I understood Romans. Now I'm reading through it. I'm like winding through the woods. I'm lost. That could happen today. So we may get so busy looking at the trees that we don't see the forest today. But it's a necessary part of where we're going. We have to look at some of these. It's a necessary part to understand. Keep the overview in your mind. We haven't left that behind. But we may get on some bunny trails through the forest today. But that's intended as necessary. We'll get back to the flying over and getting the big picture. Okay, Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified, declared righteous, justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're on the other side of the impossibly wide chasm with God, at peace with God, at friendship with God, reconciled to God, the very purpose that you were made for is completed here. You have been reconciled with God, not some kind of just a peace of mind or peaceful disposition, but you are truly, over here on this other side, you have been set at peace, complete peace with God. You are fully, fully accepted by God. You're no longer on the other side. You're on the right side of the chasm. Full acceptance. No anger or punishment coming for your sin. Because, we've just discussed, the blood was enough. The blood paid the price for that. And we have been given the righteousness of Christ. So here we are on the other side of the chasm. Sin is paid for, and righteousness has been imputed, given to, credited to your account. Can you, if you're just learning about this, then go ahead and just learn. Just start taking this in. If you have experienced this, then go ahead and believe it. If we're going to get anything else after this, you need to, and if you haven't taken time during the week, take the time now, even as we study. Go ahead and believe that. Think about that. Even personalize that. Your sin is paid for. Everything you have, so there is no shame, there is no guilt coming to you. Your sin, if you believe that, it's been paid for. Completely. And you go, oh, well, what about the things I may do next year? Well, don't you think that God knew about those things? Those things are paid for. The cross, the blood, took care of those things. Now we'll talk about obedience in a little while. So there's no anger or punishment coming to hand. Go ahead and believe it. You have the righteousness of Christ. Believe that too. There's been an exchange program. We've talked about that from 2 Corinthians 5. You have received the righteousness of Christ. So right now, if you have believed that, you are fully accepted by God. You know, but if you have children, and maybe your son has done something, he's disobeyed you. He knows he's disobeyed you, and you know he's disobeyed you. And he comes in to the room, and he's not saying anything about it. You're not saying anything about it, because you want to give him a chance to say something about it. Take some action. So, do you run down and change his last name? Oh, you're no longer Elaine. Caleb, there's something that's happened to the fellowship. There has. But has anything changed about him being my son? Nothing. Nothing has changed about him. He's still my family. He's still. And he always will be. Nothing has changed about that. So So quit bringing that up about your sin. Just kidding. But I know in your mind that you do. So go ahead. If you have some sin right now, well, it'll be a good time. As David brought, go ahead and repent of that, okay? If that's been paid for, you might as well acknowledge it and just go ahead. So you have complete fellowship with God now. But in one sense, I'm saying for right now, that's beside the point. For right now, if you have believed, you are absolutely fully accepted as a child of God by Him. You have the righteousness of Christ, and He accepts you as if you were perfectly righteous, as righteous as Christ. That's His standard to come to Him. So it's so ridiculous, really. It's so ridiculous that you would think that you're going to be good enough to come to Christ. You have a long ways to go before you're good enough. In fact, you'll never be good enough on your own. You can never be as righteous as Christ, can you? I think most people would acknowledge they cannot. So if you're waiting for that day, you'll never get there. But you can, by faith, have it right now. Right now. No shame, no guilt. You have nothing to prove to God. You can't prove anything to Him anyway. And you have nothing to prove to God. He's not your daddy that can never be pleased. If you had one of those, I'm sorry, but He's not that. He's not that. He fully, absolutely accepts you. Why? Because I've been so good? Because I've tried so hard? No. Because of the righteousness of Christ. That's why He accepts you. I wish everybody could believe that. I wish, really, that is what I would like to see. There's no anger, punishment, no wrath of God coming to you if you have believed. You're on the right side of the chasm with God. Then begins what we call growing in righteousness, sanctification, and all these things are a result of believing. It's important to get that down. All this growth, we're going to talk about those things. Sanctification, growing in faith, becoming more like the image of Christ, becoming those things, conform to the image of Christ. Those things are going to happen, but you see, those things are the result of believing what we just talked about. So that's why you have to start off believing. Let's go to verse 2. Well, it says, God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. By faith into this grace which we now stand. You are standing in grace. That is a good place to be. That is good news. You're standing in the grace of God, accepted by God, by faith. And we'll soon find out. We'll talk about how we live over here on this other side. That's pretty important. I know that's on your mind. I hope that's on your mind. How do I live over here? How can things be different? Well, I'll give you a little look ahead. And Paul gave us a look ahead in chapter 1, verse 17. And he said, the righteous, who are the righteous? All those who have believed. If you believe, that's you. You're the righteous. Okay? Yeah, but. Be quiet. You are righteous. You are the righteous if you have believed. That's who you are. The righteous, you, if you have believed, will live by faith. So there's a hint. There's a hint there. We're going to find out how we live over here. How do we live over here? We live by faith. That's where we're going to go. And in chapter 6, we'll see the theology, or the nuts and bolts of the Spirit-controlled victorious life. We'll see the design. There is a design that God has put in place. The nuts and bolts of how the mechanics of how it works. In chapter 7, we'll see the wrench that's been thrown into there that messes things up. But we'll see first how this all works. But first we have to believe. There's somebody in here. I know. This is not, I'm not being a prophet here, but there's somebody here that is saying, but what about sin? Let's go really, just quickly, okay? I'll answer your question that you didn't verbalize really quick. 1 John 1:8. And you know, somebody may be sitting here saying, why do we have to go through this again? Don't we know this? Anybody you know that you've heard of that is just, that is really following God, that you see, and they have this fruit in their life, and they have this, they are just a godly person. Well, you know how they live? You know what? Back to this stuff. I'll guarantee you, you talk to one of those people, they do not fear going back. It's the impatient, it's the immature that fear going back to these basics. These basics, you have to go back to this. You have to remind yourself, believe. And Paul said, and Peter said often, I don't tire of reminding you. We got to go back to this. So we want to talk about the juicy stuff in chapter 6 and 7 and 8. You'll never get the juicy stuff. You'll never get that stuff if we don't get this stuff. We have to get this. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. I love it. I love it. I am thankful every day. Every day. God does not accept me based on my performance. Thank you. There's a freedom in that. I wish I could remember it. We should not be running around with shame and guilt. We should not. Some people try to control us and put that on us. But when we ever get a hold of this, that'll be history. First, some of you are thinking about your sin. That can be a good thing, or it can be a bad thing. If it hasn't been repented of, it's a good thing. Think about it. Here we go. 1 John 1:8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, that's the sin nature there. I don't want to spend too long teaching this, these two verses, but if you claim to be without a sin nature, then you are fooling yourself. If we confess our sins, individual acts of sin that you have done, that I have done, rebellion against God, choosing my way apart from God's way, eating the apple, the fruit that we've been told not to eat. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. For we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in our lives. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only ours, but also the sins of the whole world. So, He pays, He's already paid for sin. He's the atoning sacrifice. That's done. That's done. If there is a sin in your life, I mean sins, individual sins, then simply repent of those things. Don't get hung up by this. If it's a recurring problem, repent again. We'll talk about how to deal with that later, but repent again. Acknowledge it. You haven't, your last name hasn't been changed. You haven't been kicked out of the family. You repent and come back. As many times as you need to. Now, we hope to see growth. We expect to see growth. We do. We expect to see that. And that will be by faith. And we'll get into that a little later when we get next chapter, chapter 6. So, fellowship may be broken, just like we just example with the parent and child. But and don't... God does not take sin lightly. We've looked at that in detail. How could He take sin lightly when Jesus went to the cross and shed His blood for that sin. He certainly, absolutely does not take sin lightly, but it has been taken care of. So, you don't go back to the other side. So, we've dealt with this idea. I just brought this up. A little bit of obedience and holy living, as little as possible in these first 4 or 5 chapters. Paul brings it up a little bit. He touches on it. But he doesn't really get into it to the later chapter. So that's why we bring it up. We will get to it. And again, it will be revolutionary if you've never heard it. Or if you have heard it and you're not living it, it'll be revolutionary. There's an answer. There is an answer. And it will be revolutionary to how you live. But you cannot just skate through this. You cannot just skim the surface. You have to do what? Believe it. You have to believe it. For the righteous will live by faith. It will revolutionize your life. If your life has not been revolutionized, then you don't have Romans. You don't have the gospel. You're not living the gospel. Your life should be revolutionized by these truths, but you have to believe them. You have to believe them. Get up and believe them. When you don't believe them, believe them. You got to keep believing them. God accepts us because of His righteousness. Are you getting tired of me saying that? It's 1 through 5, chapters 1 through 5. Paul says it over and over. He accepts us because of His righteousness. And not only acceptance now, but for eternity. Take a little pressure off yourself. For eternity. Rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You can rejoice in that because your sin is paid for. You've been given a new life by faith. So you can go ahead and rejoice in that. There is a hope for you. Now there's a growth over here on this other side of the chasm. There's growth and there is pleasing God, but you're already accepted. Now, when you read this, if you were to read this in the Greek, the truth comes through in the English translation just as well as it does the Greek. I'm not claiming to be a Greek scholar. I can just get out all the tools that you can get out too and look at it. But it's clear in the Greek and it's clear in the English that this is legal language. It's legal language that, notice it'll say, has been justified. That this is a done deal. It doesn't have to do, you don't have to do this again. It's already happened. So this is like a legal declaration, justified, declared righteous. That it's like in the court. If you were to go to a court of law, this is the terminology that's used here for that day. Part C on your outline. Rejoicing in the fruit of suffering and the assurance of eternal life. So this is one of our little, in a sense, this is a little bit of a bunny trail. This gives you a hint of what is to come about living by faith. So, you know, when I was thinking about this, as I was reading through this chapter 5, and I was thinking like how it relates to a parent and a child, and how the child may be not doing things quite right, and there needs to some things happen with the child. Maybe it's discipline, you know, or maybe it's patience, or maybe they need a little difficulty, some consequences of things happening. And so my immediate thought before I even read down to what comes next, maybe in the back of mind I knew what comes next, but so what he deals next is suffering. Suffering. And then he tells us how to handle it. Then he tells us what it's for. So we're going to take a little bit of a bunny trail, and this is some application we can take with us today. So Paul jumps ahead of himself a little bit here, and he starts a little bit on how to live when he's been, remember, we're making this transition from purely from the justification. Now we're moving a little bit into victorious living. Just a touch. And then he'll tell us the nuts and bolts of how it works. So, verses 3 through 5, chapter 5. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. I just want to say, yeah, right. That's my emotional response when I read that. Okay. I'm sure somebody does. I'm getting there. I'm just telling you that by faith this is possible. We'll see it today. Also we rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. Trials remind us. They teach us to persevere in faith. So, I reminded you about faith. That's part of my job. I remind you. Over and over, I've reminded you that believe these things. Believe them. Well, God has a method too. This is His method. This is one of His methods to get you to believe. We're teaching the Word. We're reading to you the Word of God. That will build up your faith. That will increase your faith. That's the purpose. That's part of the purpose here. God has another way to build up your faith. Because you need faith. Do you see that? You need faith. He gives us faith. I'm not saying we get that on our own. He gives us faith to believe. And then He's already given you faith. You have faith to believe and grow and become Christ-like and have obedience. Now He's going to tell us how does He strengthen our faith. And this is one way this morning. So you can sit here and you can let this go over your head and you can miss this opportunity to be strengthened in your faith. This right here today is a chance for you to be strengthened in your faith because you don't just listen to my words, you interact with the Holy Spirit and you respond as He prompts you and you believe Him as you read this. Now here's another way. This is the easy way this morning. There's another way that's not quite so easy, and that is trials teach us to persevere in our faith. They teach us to have strong faith, and therefore trials are necessary to deepen our relationship with God. They are necessary to deepen our relationship with God and to grow us into Christ-likeness. If you believe God, if you trust Him, if you respond in faith, I'm not saying it's 100. We'll get to it. Faith is a struggle. But there is fruit. There is the life of Christ that will begin to show up more and more in your life. But there must be faith to have these wonderful results, like experiencing the love of God He's poured out into your hearts. I didn't say that you have to have faith for Him to give you the love of God. So if you've already had faith, He's pouring the love of the Holy Spirit into your heart. He's pouring it there. You have it. He's already pouring it there. Right now He's pouring it there. Well, I don't feel that. I don't experience that. The doorway to experience that is faith. You experience the love of Christ. Through that doorway, you open the floodgates where you can experience the love of Christ. But you must believe. You believe. And you can experience love of Christ. So, are you preoccupied with escaping the trial, or are you trusting and moving towards having faith in it and then looking for the character that it will produce? Now, I'm going to tell you a few things about trials that don't just think about the big things. Yeah, they're the big things. There's death, there's illness, there's cancer, there's having to move when you don't want to move. There's all sorts of things that are big trials. There's all sorts of failures and losing your job. There's all sorts of things that are there. But then there are other things that we need to acknowledge of trials. There are daily things that we need to acknowledge of trials. And there are trials that no one else will not be perceived by anybody else. And if you're thinking you have to explain this to somebody else so they'll understand that you're going through a trial, they're never going to understand some things. Nobody. Thank you for the song, Brenna. But nobody is going to understand. But it's still a real trial. Do not diminish it that it's a trial. You might not can verbalize it. You say, I just want to explain how I'm feeling. You want somebody to understand and somebody to have sympathy for you. That's not the purpose of the trial. It's to increase your faith. So go ahead and believe God, even though nobody else on the face of the earth understands what or why you're going through what you're going through. They don't have to understand. This is between you and God. You trust Him in that trial. Oh, but nobody, and I don't understand it. Nobody does. But you, if you're struggling with it, it's a trial. Go ahead and call it what it is. There are many various forms and kinds of trials, and they all are to be used to strengthen your faith. So go ahead and acknowledge it. It's a trial. Go ahead and admit it. And go ahead and start trusting God in it. And then go ahead and get the benefit of it. Because there is benefit in it. I will guarantee you. Fight the good fight of faith. If we're going to keep moving, if we're going to move into chapter 6, there's some things that you need to do. If you're not doing them now, you need to start doing them. Fight the good fight of faith. Let's look at some verses. 1 Timothy 1:18. You guys stay with me. Don't leave now. Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you so that by following them you may fight the good fight of faith, holding on to faith and a good conscience. Some have rejected these and so have shipwrecked their faith. And then let's go to 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith, the fight of faith. 1 Peter 1:6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have seen Him, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. There's all sorts of things there we don't have time to get into. Psalm 62:8. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him. Our God is refuge, is our refuge. You know, I love the balance of that verse. Trust in Him at all times. And then, but pour out your heart to Him. Are you struggling with faith? Are you losing the battle? Well, pour out your heart to Him. He is your refuge. But trust Him at all times. He covers all the bases there. So I hear this often. God will never give you more than you can handle. Well, you know, I mean, I know there is the verse about you'll not be tempted more than you can bear. But on this particular aspect of a trial, I may be stretching it here, but this is what I'm thinking. That many of us have discovered that this is not exactly true. That we will, at times in our life, get more than we can handle. That we may run against some things that crush us and leave us crying out in desperation. And it feels like God is oblivious to your pain. And it's you and God in the dark. Even though it feels like it's just you in the dark. Or you may feel that God is faithful in some areas of your life and not in others. You know, I have seen this particularly in preachers. That if you've studied the lives of them, like Spurgeon or different guys, what you find is they may be preaching and just having such great fruit in their lives, and there's something over here that God just won't answer this prayer. I think about Paul. Paul, could you have a more fruitful preacher than Paul? And then he has this thorn in the flesh that God's not going to take care of. He's not going to heal him. He's not going to do it. Let me just give you some insight about what God is like, how He works. You see, like this faith, this very foundational faith we're talking about. You see, we don't talk about blind faith. We don't have blind faith because we see the complexity of the universe. And we see this order that did not come out of chaos. And we see the proof of God in the universe. And we have the Word of God, the Bible. And we see how it's been handled and translated. And we see all the numbers of manuscripts. And we see the care of this thing. We see how it's been proven over and over and over and over to be correct. But still, so it's built up and it's proven itself. God's proven Himself. And then He says, now trust Me. Your sin is paid for. Now put your trust in Me. So it's not blind faith. So a lot of times, this is just how God works. So, He's blessing you in some area of your life, and you're bearing fruit, and God's doing this, and He's working. But there's this thing over here that you just have no understanding of. God, I don't care about all the other stuff. You'll just help me here. Just help me do this, God. I'm in the dark here. What am I going to do? And God says, see what I'm doing over here? You can trust Me over here, just like you can trust Me. I'm letting you see this. That doesn't require faith. You can't see this now. This is where faith comes in. This is where faith comes in. I've proven Myself to you here. You see this? I'm not proving Myself to you here. You gotta believe me. Put your full, absolute trust in Me. And that is where the benefit comes. That's where the growth comes. That's where the fruit is produced. Over here. And that, where I don't want to go. I don't want to deal with that. Trust Me in the dark. Trust Me in the dark. I've proven Myself to you in the light. Trust Me in the dark. And you'll bear much fruit from it. Your faith will grow. You will become more like Christ. So, will you fight for your faith? Over here, that's where you fight for your faith. That's where all this stuff's working out. All this stuff's good. But my marriage is just like falling apart here, God. What am I going to do? Trust Me. You trust Me. Trust Me. Will you get back up? Will you keep the faith? I'll tell you something else about faith. Does this sound like the voice of experience talking? Okay. You fail in faith. You know? Part of faith is failing in faith. But will you stay there? Or will you get back up? Will you trust Him? For what value is there in this life, in this walk, if we will not trust God? Don't throw it all away by not trusting God. You got to fight, as Paul said. If it was a fight for Paul, and Paul's telling Timothy it's going to be a fight, I'm telling you, it's going to be a fight. Faith will not come easy. You have to, when you fail, you have, that's fighting, right? It's not really a fight. A one-punch fight is not a fight. That's not a fight. But if you, in a fight, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know. You got to get up when you get knocked down. And you got to keep going. Fight the good fight of faith. Whatever it costs you, you must have faith. Whatever it costs you, you must have faith. Faith is so awesome and all-encompassing, we can even rejoice. When we get a hold of it, then we can even rejoice in trials because they build our faith. That's how big faith is. Because it's getting this understanding that this life is more about just me being comfortable. That's how big faith is. That we actually, and it tells us there, we can rejoice in our trials because this awesome, all-encompassing thing called faith will be growing and producing. And so, that is why we can rejoice in our trials. And I don't look at this like trials gives us faith. I look at this like we've already been given faith. And we have faith. If you put your trust in God, and you've trusted Him for your salvation, you have faith. It's just that, we've talked about this before, the trials are like working out. They just strengthen the faith. They build up the faith. And the fruit of it is perseverance, character, and hope. And you see that in here. 2 Peter 1, 5 and 8. 5 through 8. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Starts with faith. Faith. Faith is the key to Jesus living His life through you. For I've been crucified with Christ. Now I no longer live, but the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That is the secret to Christ living His life in you, is by believing Him. If you have believed, you have faith. Now, be strengthened in it. And I think I'd like to move on to this assurance of God's love for us. This is a part of it. But I think I'll stop here and we'll pick it up next week.